live wire in the fire, represent the seven days in a government for hire at a combat site. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
That wasn't We Didn't Start the Fire, was it?
No, that was...
It was close. Sounded like it.
That was It's the End of the World. As we know.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But that kind of sounded like... Wasn't there a lawsuit about that they sounded so similar years ago?
But not those two songs, but I think you... I think We Didn't Start the Fire did have a lawsuit against it.
Can't remember what
that
was.
But it wasn't from R.E.M.
Okay, okay.
But I do remember that vaguely.
For the record, Tony was singing along with no teleprompter. This is not karaoke.
I'm a big R.E.M. fan.
All the words.
I could tell.
I'm a big R.E.M. fan.
Oh, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Yeah. This is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We are happy that you are able to join us once again this week. My name is Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews. Great to see you, my friend.
Good to see you. It's been a dang while.
No kidding. No kidding.
Months and months.
We're back together here in the studio. It's great to be talking to everyone. Got a great show on tap for you today. A little bit later on, we are going to talk to the sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak, a regular on this show, but it's been a little while since we've talked to the sheriff. There's a lot going on in this world, a lot of news surrounding law enforcement happened around the country this week in places like Seattle and Portland and Chicago. And I am so glad that we have such a great relationship with Sheriff Marshak and other members of law enforcement in our area here, because it's really great, I think, to get their insight and their reaction to some of these stories and some of these issues that are affecting police around the country. So I'm really looking forward to talking to the sheriff about that.
And why is it when the man on the street goes and talks to, you know, people that live in the inner city and asks the question, do you want to defund the police? And they're like, no, we need a police officer on every corner. But yet the politicians and a lot of the liberal news agencies say, no, we're going to defund it. We're going to dismantle.
Yeah.
And dismantle that. So, yeah. That's,
yeah. I mean, things like... You know, the things that I want to talk to Sheriff about, and we'll probably keep Sheriff around for the podcast exclusive. So if you want to hear a continuation of the conversation that we're going to have with the sheriff, make sure you download our podcast exclusive. Two podcasts we put out each and every week. We put out the show podcast, which you're listening to right now on Fridays, and we put out the podcast exclusive on Mondays. And that podcast exclusive, like I said, a little bit of an extra conversation, stuff that we run out of time for, or just maybe want to get, you know, more into the weeds with on some certain topics. That's what we do on the podcast exclusive, and Sheriff's going to join us for that this week. So make sure you're checking that out. But, you know, Bo, you just mentioned it. Politicians and other groups having such an influence on law enforcement right now in Seattle. This is one of the stories that I want to get Sheriff's reaction on, but I get your reaction right now. The police chief in Seattle, Carmen Best, resigned after the city council voted 7-1 in Seattle to cut the police budget by $4 million and up to 100 officers. And this police chief said, I can't do it.
No.
I'm not going to be the one that leads this. As you're taking everything away and making it harder and harder for us to do our jobs and making us look worse and worse, I'm not going to be the one that stands here, you know, on the sinking ship.
What's the mindset of the people that voted to do this? That's what I'm thinking. I've even had small instances. You've had a car wreck recently. What do you do? You got to call 911, right? Well, if 911 doesn't pick up, or if you get a voicemail, that's not, I mean, and this is a traditional car wreck, right? This is not an attack. This is not a bad neighbor acting up, or this, and then bigger things that go on in this world. Who are you going to call? Who are the right. seven that voted against it? Who are they going to call when things go down?
Yeah, 7-1.
No.
So it's not even close. Yeah, it wasn't even close. And the answer, the short and... In my opinion, at least, the short and unfortunate answer is for votes. They think that voting that way, putting these laws in, these policies in, is going to get them reelected to whatever position they're sitting in.
Right.
That's
right.
Why I think they vote. You said, why do they make these changes? Why do they institute these laws? I think that they believe that that's how
they stay in.
They'll keep their jobs.
Sure, sure.
And maybe they're right. And if they are, that's really sad. I hope they're wrong.
And really, if this is a situation that you put in your mind that if the St. Louis City or Jefferson County or St. Charles County Police defunded, and you ask yourself the question, who do I call if I call 911 and there's no 911 to pick up, other than for medical emergencies, which there again, that's a whole nother ball of wax. But that's why it's so important to understand the laws of the Second Amendment and what you can do to self-police if you have to defend. If you can call and you could be put on a list. You go, oh, well, we'll be out there in a half hour. When you had your car wreck, how long did it take for the police to show up?
Yeah, we didn't even call the police.
You didn't even call them. Mm-mm. Well, and it was a car wreck. But we could ask Sheriff Marshak, what's the call time from initial phone call to arrival of law enforcement at your situation, whatever that is.
Yeah,
not a car wreck, but.
And what would it be if you got 20% of the force cut?
I don't want to live there.
What would happen then if it's 3 minutes right now? Okay, well, what about in a world where you have a quarter less officers and budget?
Right.
Now how long? Now what would be your guess?
And don't you feel that as the coronavirus pandemic continues, the fatigue of this event for our world is so exhausting that people are touchy. They're angry. They want stuff over. If you're at the big box store and something goes down. Matter of fact, a buddy of mine was at River City Casino and had a little bit of an incident at a roulette table, and there was no security. I mean, I'm sure there was security somewhere, but they weren't right there. He really felt that he was going to have to deal with it himself.
Yeah.
And then his wife grabbed
his
arm.
Don't you feel like that right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
Chad, do you feel that way? Like, do you feel like it, more than ever, like anytime, even if you're just going into a store that you've been into a million times and you don't think anything's going to happen, but aren't you just a little more aware and kind of on edge and like, I got to kind of look out for myself.
On edge
now.
is a great term for it.
Absolutely.
And it sucks. It sucks to be thinking that all the time. Like, I'm going into this Quick Trip that may not be in the best neighborhood ever, but I've been in it a million times. I've never had a problem. So normally I wouldn't think about anything. Now I'm thinking, I better kind of like be a little bit more aware of my surroundings.
You don't know when somebody's going to snap. Plus, you don't know your visual cues. When I look at you, Chad, you don't have your mask on right now, but if you have your mask on, you don't know what the person's thinking.
I've actually used that to my advantage.
Yeah.
At home, my girl's like, take that mask off. I don't know what your facial expression looks like.
You wear it at home? Hold on here.
He uses it to his advantage.
Like if we just came in and she says something and I'm just staring.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you thinking?
Right, right.
Nothing.
Never answer that question, Chad.
But it does. It stinks. You feel more and more like you're just kind of on your own. And I think that's actually a perfect tie-in, unintentional, but you're brilliant, Bo. You've been doing this for a long time. It's a perfect tie-in to everything that we've talked about on the show for the last 6 months, since this whole thing has happened with all our friends at Southern Armory and Razorback and Osage County Guns, how they don't have any ammunition in stock, and they half their shelves are empty because all the people are buying guns because everybody feels that way. All these people that used to think, well, I don't need a gun. I'm not really comfortable with one.
Sure.
I'll call the police if I need, if I'm ever in a bad situation. Those people are buying guns now because they feel like they're kind of on their own.
Right.
And I don't think that's the police's fault. I think that's the position that we've put the police and the community in.
Here's the other thing that I'd like to talk to the sheriff about is, domestic violence. Early on in this coronavirus pandemic, isolation, we were hearing of, domestic violence calls were up and, abuse was up. And it's horrible because people are so on edge. I mean, for me to be away from my wife for any amount of time right now, I mean, it's awesome. It's a great break. No. By the way, I asked her, what's the best thing about me not, having to go into the studio every day? She says, well, that you're home all the time. I said, well, what's the worst part? She goes, you're home all the time.
Yeah, right.
So, no, but there's a break as I'm driving away today going, I'm actually going to be gone for like 5 or 6 hours today.
Yeah.
This is going to be kind of weird. But to your point about shopping, you don't know if somebody, I mean, people seem to be a little more, I don't want to say rude, but they're just not as generous. Like, you open a door for somebody.
Yeah.
And people don't, I don't know. My experience is it's just not the kind, gentle nation we used to be in, you know, before the pandemic situation. My opinion only, but it's also my experiences. Restaurants are a whole other, you know, avenue that you can go down because, again, you don't know. We were at a restaurant not long ago, and a gal actually had a smiley face on the front of her mask. I was like, oh, that's genius. You know, even if you're grumpy,
right.
You know, you're selling it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So anyway.
I was, you know, like I mentioned, we've talked about it a lot, that these stores don't have the inventory that they used to, and, you know, it's tough to find ammo. I was actually at Osage County Guns last weekend, and I was shocked because the last time I was there several months ago, it's a huge store already.
I've heard.
And 6,000 square foot retail
space. Still been there.
It's giant. And the last time I was there, every case was stocked full. Every rack, every shelf was stocked full. And I walk in and there's all this empty space. I couldn't believe it. Now, they still have a great selection.
Sure.
You know, but nothing like what they had. I was talking to John, who joins us all the time on the show, and he kind of caught me like looking around, and I guess, you know, read my expression. Like, I was like, whoa. And he was like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's unbelievable how empty.
Because he knows what that store was meant to be. It was supposed to have 5,000.
And what it has always been until now.
Right.
Like, last time I was there, last couple times I was there, it was always packed.
Everything you can think of.
Yeah.
And even the last time Jake and John were on, they said it's kind of sad because we only have like 1,700 weapons that are on.
So,
well, 1,700 sounds like a lot, but to this guy,
when you're used to having 5 or 6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have
totally
that choice.
Different.
And the ammo and all that stuff. So, the hunt for ammo is definitely still on.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm hearing lots of practice being done in my, you know, out where I live. You hear it off in the distance. People are practicing. People are getting, you know, getting comfortable with their firearms, which anybody should do. And if you have an opportunity to buy extra ammo, just do it because you need practice ammo.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we're going to take this first break here. I don't even think I talked about who was joining us in the next segment. After we take this first break, we talked about Sheriff Marshak joining us later in the show.
Right.
I said we have a packed show. Dimitri Young, who is a former St. Louis Cardinals player, has a new podcast. It's a sports and professional wrestling combo podcast.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking to the former Cardinal about that. But he's also an avid outdoorsman and fisherman, and I believe he's on a lake right now. Is that right, Chad?
Yes.
Dimitri is fishing right now.
That's what he told us we'll be doing this morning.
Yeah, so when we talked to former Cardinal Dimitri Young about his new podcast, get his thoughts on, you know, how this pandemic has affected Major League Baseball.
Absolutely.
We'll talk fishing as well because he's fishing as we speak. So don't go anywhere. You just mentioned ammo, Bo. Usually at the beginning of every show in this segment, we're typically joined by Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. He was unable to join us this week, but he did send me a text with some information about Southern Armory. And the number one thing that he says is all caps, we have ammo. So apparently they have gotten some shipments of ammunition in there at Southern Armory. So if you are looking for ammo, make sure you go and check them out. They also have some AR-15s coming into stock there. Blue Label guns available. Of course, they can take care of all of your special orders out there. And they are getting back into CCW classes and advanced pistol classes. Those training classes they offer are going to be starting back up soon. So you can get information about everything involving that and check out the ammo and the guns that they have available there at Southern Armory by going to SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
You got that right. 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44. Check them out also on Facebook and the Southern Armory Facebook and the Southern Armory website. So big thank you to Aaron for sending that information, and we will talk to Aaron once again next week. So let's go ahead and take this first break, and when we get back, we will talk to the former St. Louis Cardinal, Dimitri Young, who is fishing as we speak. I'm very jealous of that.
Lucky.
Yeah, you are listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis and my partner Beau Matthews. And as I mentioned in that last segment, in just a moment, we're going to be talking to the former St. Louis Cardinal, Dimitri Young, about fishing. He's on the water right now, I believe, fishing, which is fantastic. And anytime we talk about fishing here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, it's brought to you by our friends over at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, right on the banks of the Mississippi River. Of course, they specialize in big catfish gear, being right there on the river, but they also have a huge selection of bass and crappie lures and just about anything else that you need for your fishing trip. They have you covered at Bluff City. Check them out at BluffCityOutdoors.com. And as I mentioned, let's go ahead and get Dimitri on the line right now. Joining us is a former St. Louis Cardinal, Major League Baseball All-Star, Dimitri Young. Dimitri, how's it going, my friend?
Yeah, it's actually been a whirlwind in the last week or so. You announced me as a former St. Louis Cardinal, but you can also announce me as the new Camarillo High School baseball coach.
Yeah, nice. You know what? We were looking, Bo was just looking you up on the Google and saw that you had just you just got that new gig coaching baseball there, and that's in California, is that right?
Yeah, Camarillo High School, that's where my brother Delman went.
Yeah.
Where everybody knows he was the number one pick overall.
Right,
and that
right.
was my rival. That was my rival high school.
Oh, no.
No kidding.
In Oxnard. And no, it's a good thing because I've been in the community for the last 9 years, you know, moving back to California. And the last 3 years, I was coaching with Royce Clayton at Oaks Christian High School, former St. Louis Cardinal.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And on that team, had me as the hitting coach, and I was up with varsity and JV. You had Jeff Weaver, another former Cardinal, was the pitching coach. Well, he still is the pitching coach over there. And then you have Royce as the head coach. And basically what happened, the Camarillo High School coach had to resign due to the fact that he has a young family. And with that and what's going on in the world right now, you know, I totally respect him for – you know, stepping down because you do have a young family. You worry about them and their well-being. And for me, my kids are adults out of the house. I've been around the youth space for about the last, since 2013, really.
Wow.
Doing the Breakthrough Series and the Elite Development Invitational and Hank Aaron Invitational with Major League Baseball and the Players Association and USA Baseball, doing events with Perfect Game. And doing the RBI World Series. So I've been in the youth space for a long time and finally having a program, especially a story program like Camarillo. And you know, because a lot of kids were going to other schools so they can get looked at by colleges. And it was like, hold on, that's in my Rolodex.
Right.
Wait a minute. Is that like no longer a thing anymore? No. Rolodex?
Yeah. It's in your contacts. It's in your contacts of your phone.
It's okay. Rolodex is okay for me and Bo. Chad, I don't know. Chad, have you ever owned a Rolodex?
No.
Do you know what a Rolodex is?
I know what it is. I used to play with one, like thought it was a toy until I got in trouble for playing.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought you was going to say a Rolodex was like a mini Rolex.
Yeah. So, Dimitri, I know that you've been working, coaching kids and working with different schools and organizations for so long. And then, of course, you've got this the podcast that you guys are doing as well. It sounds like there's going to be less time for getting out on the water, so you better enjoy it while you can, right?
Oh, you know, there still will be time. They know that I love the fish, and the principal Matt LaBelle is a baseball guy himself, and so he's all for it. I got a full rein to hire who I want to hire.
Man, that's great.
And part of what I want to build is it's not what I want to build, it's what I'm going to build.
Yeah.
It's a powerhouse. And
it starts
at the top. It starts with me and whoever I bring in, and the people I'm bringing in are going to be 100% devoted to the kids, helping them, holding them accountable, helping them transformed from boys to men.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, athletics is such an important thing. And, you know, we see things like gym class, PE classes and music classes and sports, you know, a lot of times don't get the attention, the funding that they need, especially in a crazy world like what we're going through right now. So I wish you all the best, because that is so important to for these kids to have that outlet, whether it be, you know, in the fine arts, you know, a chance to be a musician or, you know, an athlete. It's just so important and so great. And I just know how much, you know, being an athlete in high school was such a, you know, how much it taught me. So, I mean, it's just such an important thing. What do you got, Bo?
I'm just giggling about his ringtone. Dimitri, have you thought about changing the ringtone before the kids start calling you?
What was it?
It was Notorious, and I would think the only reason you might need to change it is because they won't even know who Big was.
No, they know who Biggie is.
Good.
They know Biggie and Tupac.
All right.
No, and I'm not offended. I'm not offended. I just am not.
So
it used to be Heavy D and the Boys.
Oh, nice.
I'm going even further back.
Dude, yeah, you're going, you and I think you and I are probably, I'm 42. I think you and I have a very similar taste and kind of grew up in the same time.
So are you saying that the rap music I'm playing is equivalent to us listening to Louis Armstrong?
maybe not that bad, but unfortunately, probably getting close. So I want to talk about the podcast in a minute, but I gotta ask you, if you're out there right now fishing, what is what do you fish for a specific, like, I'm a bass fisherman primarily, do you have a specific fish that you go after, and what's your kind of go-to strategy, lures and all that kind of stuff?
That's funny that you say that. Out here in the Pacific Ocean,
woo,
you know, yeah, you got a whole lot of things out here that swim close to shore. You have the surf perch, which is a common dish that that's pretty easy. I won't say easy to catch, but they're hungry and dumb. And you have
a lot of people say that about Bo.
Hey,
it's called whiting.
What's it called?
And whiting.
Okay,
but out here it's called corbina.
So set the stage for us, Dimitri. Where are you? Are you on the ocean right now?
Yeah. Do you fish off the beach?
Away?
I'm
on the beach now.
Nice. So
I'm like a foot from the water.
God, that's amazing. That's incredible. Do you have you always been into fishing? Is it something you kind of grew up with, or is it something that you got into as an adult?
I got into this 3 years ago.
Okay.
I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I had ketoacidosis, which, oh, Lord have mercy. All I can say is you don't want to have that when you have diabetes. So I was in the hospital, and I was like, man, I need to change my diet. And I had a couple of buddies post some things up on Facebook talking about, yeah, they go fishing and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, let's go fishing. And so the first time I went out on the boat, it's called the Aloha Spirit. It's probably one of the best boats around here in Ventura County as far as going out and going after the good fish. And I fell in love with it. I didn't know how to do a thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to cast. I didn't know how to use the double dropper loop. I hated touching the live bait, like the sardines and stuff. I was real squeamish. I know, a big guy like me,
yeah,
not wanting to touch fish. Yeah, that was me, though. And then after that, I mean, it just became fun. You catch that first fish, and it's like,
It is. It sets off a light in your head, and it's like I love to fish. When I was younger with my dad and my grandpa, and then, you know, I got, you know, into my 20s. And, you know, was starting off in my radio career and doing other things.
Chasing
just,
girls.
Fishing was just not, yeah, it just wasn't important to me anymore. And then it was not until I was in my 30s, maybe 10 years ago, something like that, I went fishing with a buddy of mine for the first time in years and years. And it was the same story, Dimitri. I caught that first fish, and I had that fight. It was a, you know, good-sized bass, and had that fight and reeled it in. And it just was like, I want to do this a lot more. And it just became a thing. And I think it's such a great outlet. And I think it kind of ties back into that whole conversation, Dimitri, with, you know, people, kids especially, but just people in general need to have these outlets. And it's important to introduce them to things like going outside, you know, camping, being out in the outdoors, fishing, playing a sport. You know, I think we all need these extra outlets these days. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Get outdoors. Enjoy what's been presented to us. I mean, there's just so many things to do. I'm not much of a hiker because we got mountain lions and bobcats and stuff out here, and I ain't that brave.
No. We don't want to mess with them.
You know, I think...
But
the other benefit...
To the beach right now, I see about 15 people on the beach. You got a female about to go surfing. You have a couple walking.
Yeah.
You have some people surf fishing. You got a dude on a beach cruiser. And you have another family that's up here just enjoying the beach.
That's
awesome. And it's like a 2-mile stretch.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And Dimitri, are you out there by yourself or are you fishing with friends today?
I got a couple of buddies with me.
Okay. So is there a lot of talk going on about the team you're going to be coaching here soon?
Well, they showed up right before you did, and they congratulated me on, you know, becoming the head coach.
Yeah.
And that's the extent right now. They're getting their lines ready, and I've been out here for a little while.
Nice. So
we're trying to go towards where the jetty is, where there's a bridge, and we want to try and fish for different fish.
I guess my point is it's nice. It's easy to get into your head when you're out there doing something like that. You're doing what you're doing, but you can think about what, you know, the good Lord's put in front of you on what you got to do.
Yeah, yeah. Gives you some time.
This is a great place to clear your head, and I don't know if y'all can hear the background of the ocean or not, but just listening to the waves crash and feel the sunshine. It's I'm clearing my head. I'm internalizing everything that's just happened this past week, and you know, I'm real happy because I get to work with kids, and it's going to be my program.
That is so beautiful. We congratulations on that so much. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. I gotta have you back sometime soon. Maybe we can have you and Dennis and maybe Jason come on one day and join us for our podcast exclusive that we do.
Oh, did Dennis tell you we also have D-Mac, Darren McCarty? He's part of the team now.
Yeah, he told me that was going to happen. So Darren McCarty, former hockey player, tough guy, hockey player, going to join the podcast with Jason Kendall and Dimitri Young.
We're naming it the Farrell family.
Yeah,
the Heenan family.
Yeah, I like it.
The Farrell family. We're wrestling with sports.
Can we call him the Weasel?
Jason Kendall, you have myself, you have Darren McCarty, you have Brett Boone and Sean Casey sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And you have Dennis Farrell leading the charge.
And can we call Dennis the Weasel? Like Bobby
he
Heenan?
He looks more like a mole.
So, like I said, got to have you back on, talk more about fishing. Also, I'm sure we could tell some great stories about your time in baseball and here with the St. Louis Cardinals. You're on this show, airs on two stations here in St. Louis, one of which is KMOX, which of course has been broadcasting Cardinal baseball for a long time, so I'm sure a lot of the people listening on KMOX love to hear your voice and hear that you're doing so good. And I actually have a very personal story. This is a tease just to get you back so we can get into this more next time we have a chance to talk. I have a very personal story of a moment in time with my friends that I'll never forget, and you are involved, Dimitri, in that memory. It has to do with the 96 National League Championship Series and some friends of mine and what we were doing and the triple that you hit, I think, in game 4. Anyway, I'll tell you the whole story and the whole memory next time we get a chance to talk. But before we let you go, tell people about this new podcast. I think it is freaking awesome as a sports and wrestling fan. It's like the perfect thing for me. You just mentioned all the great people involved, wrestling with sports, this really cool podcast. Tell people about it.
Well, the way that it came together, is Dennis was doing another podcast, Wrestling Perspective with Petey Williams, and he had me on a couple of times, and he was very impressed with my overall wrestling knowledge, not just WWE, but Impact Wrestling, AEW, yeah. Ring of Honor, New Japan, Major right. League Wrestling, NWA.
Yeah.
I'm really into wrestling in that sense. And Dennis was like, dude, you need to come on and do this with us. And then when we did it again with Jason Kendall, he was like, I was like, you know what? We're in the middle of a pandemic. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not busy. So, you know, let's do this.
Nice.
And the whole thing about the show is we're wrestling geeks, and we don't ask the tough questions. We just like to have a conversation with the people, and that's been our niche. And as you know, Jason Kendall, he's an interrupter. He's the one that get on there and in the middle of anything, he'll cut you off and start asking his questions, and then I'm talking about him. Dennis is talking about him, and you know, and now we had Darren McCarty, who is he's a tremendous wrestling fan like myself. It was like we're sitting there trading off stuff that the novice wrestling fan is not going to really know. And it's just been absolutely fun. And of course, with now me being a high school coach, and even though we had a pandemic, you know, my time is going to be a little bit more away from the podcast and more with the team, but I'll be on there as much as possible.
Yeah,
because the Farrell family,
I love it.
You know, we're going to do a lot of good things for wrestling with sports, you know,
heck
just
yeah.
Give our perspective, because we love the wrestlers. We know what they go through. And, you know, yes, it's you know, predetermined, but you got to be an athlete to do all the stuff that they do.
No doubt.
100%.
No doubt.
And I give them all the credit in the world, because I definitely cannot do what they do. I couldn't take a bump. Those ring ropes hurt when you try and go off. Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get on the top rope and do that. Ooh. No, thank you.
Isn't it amazing, dude, though, that wrestling has been a constant for so many decades?
Yeah.
I mean, I sat next to Baron Von Roschke and Mad Dog Vachon on a plane one time when I was about 10 years old, and it was the greatest moment of my life.
That's
Wahoo McDaniel. Remember that name?
Oh, absolutely. Bo, you would love this. You will love their podcast then. Again, it's called Wrestling with Sports. And one of the things, Dimitri, that I loved the most about it is that, you know, like you said, it's you and Jason Kendall and now Darren McCarty. So you got these professional athletes and you guys talk a little bit about sports. And then you guys have such great wrestling guests on as well. Like, I just listened to the one with the Good Brothers. And for me, and I think a lot of fans and a lot of people that like podcasts like this, it's great to hear you guys talk about like current events or like breakdown matches or whatever, but to hear you and Jason tell stories about your, you know, time in Major League Baseball, and then, you know, the wrestlers telling their stories about being on the road and plane rides, like that behind the scene picture that you guys are able to paint for your listeners, I think is one of the biggest reasons that people should listen. So you need to check it out. The podcast is called Wrestling with Sports. It's hosted by Dennis Farrell and Dimitri Young and Jason Kendall and now Darren McCarty. So go and check it out just about anywhere that you get podcasts. Bo was just showing me a 4.5 out of 5 rating that the podcast has. That is absolutely incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
So, Wrestling with Sports, check it out. And Dimitri Young, we will have to have you back on the show real soon, my friend. Thank you for your time, and go enjoy the fishing, and good luck today. Hope you catch something big. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Great stuff there with Dimitri Young, the former Cardinal. If you missed it, make sure you download the podcast of the show. Each and every week, we put out 2 podcasts. He is enjoying the great outdoors, Bo, standing on the beach looking at the Pacific Ocean.
Baseball players know where to live.
Right,
great weather, right. Fish any day of the year, whatever.
And, of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop. They strive to be the area's premier destination for customs built and suppressors. They've got you covered on Manchester Road, just east of 270, about a half a mile, and online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
And joining us now for just a few minutes, minutes left on the show, but we'll be sticking around for the podcast exclusive discussion. As I mentioned, joining us on the phone is the sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak, back with us. Great to talk with you, Sheriff. How are you?
Good afternoon. Hopefully you guys are doing well.
Yeah. Sorry we're getting to you a little late and we don't have very much time left on the show. You know how it is. Professional athletes, they don't stop talking. You can't cut them off because, you know, they're big time. So Dimitri took all your time.
Hey, listen, I always accept to play second fiddle to a professional athlete. I get it.
But like I said, the good thing about this show, one of the resources that we have is the podcast exclusive. So each and every week we put out two podcasts of the show. The show podcast goes out on Friday before the show even airs, so you can take the show with you throughout the weekend. And then we release the podcast exclusive on Mondays. So we get this opportunity to have a deeper discussion and kind of continue some of the topics on the show if we run out of time. And so Sheriff's going to be sticking around for that podcast exclusive, and we'll get into some of the big topics of the week with him there. Before we have to wrap up the show, Sheriff, I did want to just quickly get your thoughts on this, and we'll continue the discussion on the podcast. But there's a lot of stuff happening in the country this week that surround the law enforcement community, and a lot of it is very negative. One example of that, something we touched on earlier, in Seattle, their police chief just resigned after the city council voted to cut the police budget by $4 million and up to 100 officers. Like I said, we'll have time to get into this a little bit deeper in the podcast exclusive, but after a week like this, what is your what's your thoughts on where we're at in the world right now, and especially for the law enforcement community?
Well, I can tell you it's disheartening for law enforcement officers to continuously be demoralized over some of the actions of police officers. You know, there's more than 800,000 police officers throughout the entire country, with 3 to 5 million contacts every day. And a majority of them are professionals doing the right thing, doing amazing work every single day. They're professionals. And so I think if we hyper-focus on one incident inside the entire country and broadcast that nationally and create this narrative that the police are rogue, it's going to do some real damage to safety and security for our communities and for the entire country. So I think, you know, in large part, the narrative is a little disingenuous to the hard work that's being done every day.
And, hey, Sheriff, real quick, with your staff that you have, the deputies that you have on the road, you mentioned demoralizing. Do you feel like they're coaching? If so, how do you keep them up? How do you keep them positive in the world we're facing?
30 seconds, Sheriff.
Hey, 30 seconds. I tell you, we do a number of different things. We have a great work culture here. In Jefferson County, we're very fortunate to have a community that supports us. I'm familiar with some polling that was done just because of the election cycle. Every piece of campaign material came out, said they were pro-law enforcement. And so Jefferson County is very lucky to have a community that supports it. And so for us, it's not as bad as other areas. But, you know, we can kind of talk about that. I'm getting a number of different applications from St. Louis City police officers and some other areas. So I think some work needs to be done in our region.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue this discussion with Sheriff on the podcast. That's Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. Get our podcast just about anywhere you download podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app because you can get so many things there, including the podcast. You can stream the station 24/7, rewind live radio with the radio rewind feature. So make sure you check us out there. For our producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Great stuff there with Dimitri Young, the former Cardinal. If you missed it, make sure you download the podcast of the show. Each and every week, we put out two podcasts. He is enjoying the great outdoors, Bo, standing on the beach looking at the Pacific Ocean.
Baseball players know where to live.
Right.
Great weather, right. Fish any day of the year, whatever.
And, of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop. They strive to be the area's premier destination for customs built and suppressors. They've got you covered on Manchester Road, just east of 270, about a half a mile, and online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
And joining us now for just a few minutes left on the show, but we'll be sticking around for the podcast exclusive discussion. As I mentioned, joining us on the phone is the Sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak, back with us. Great to talk with you, Sheriff. How are you?
Good afternoon. Hopefully you guys are doing well.
Yeah. Sorry we're getting to you a little late and we don't have very much time left on the show. You know how it is. Professional athletes, they don't stop talking. You can't cut them off because, you know, they're big time. So... Dimitri took all your time.
Hey, listen, I always accept to play second fiddle to a professional athlete. I get it.
But like I said, the good thing about this show, one of the resources that we have is the podcast exclusive. So each and every week we put out two podcasts of the show. The show podcast goes out on Friday before the show even airs, so you can take the show with you throughout the weekend. And then we release the podcast exclusive on Monday. So we get this opportunity to have a deeper discussion and kind of continue some of the topics on the show if we run out of time. And so Sheriff's going to be sticking around for that podcast exclusive, and we'll get into some of the big topics of the week with him there. Before we have to wrap up the show, Sheriff, I did want to just quickly get your thoughts on this, and we'll continue the discussion on the podcast. But there's a lot of stuff happening in the country this week that surround the law enforcement community, and a lot of it is very negative. One example of that, something we touched on earlier, in Seattle, their police chief just resigned after the city council voted to cut the police budget by $4 million and up to 100 officers. Like I said, we'll have time to get into this a little bit deeper in the podcast exclusive, but after a week like this, what is your what's your thoughts on where we're at in the world right now, and especially for the law enforcement community?
Well, I can tell you it's disheartening for law enforcement officers to continuously be demoralized over some of the actions of police officers. You know, there's more than 800,000 police officers throughout the entire country, with 3 to 5 million contacts every day. And a majority of them are professionals doing the right thing, doing amazing work every single day. They're professionals. And so I think if we hyper-focus on one incident inside the entire country and broadcast that nationally and create this narrative that the police are rogue, it's going to do some real damage to safety and security for our communities and for the entire country. So I think, you know, in large part, the narrative is a little disingenuous to the hard work that's being done every day.
And, hey, Sheriff, real quick, with your staff that you have, the deputies that you have on the road, you mentioned demoralizing. Do you feel like they're coaching? If so, how do you keep them up? How do you keep them positive in the world we're facing?
30 seconds, Sheriff.
Hey, 30 seconds. I tell you, we do a number of things. We have a great work culture here. In Jefferson County, we're very fortunate to have a community that supports us. I'm familiar with some polling that was done just because of the election cycle. Every piece of campaign material came out, said they were pro-law enforcement. And so Jefferson County is very lucky to have a community that supports it. And so for us, it's not as bad as other areas. But, you know, we can kind of talk about that. I'm getting a number of different applications from city police officers and some other areas. So I think some work needs to be done in our region.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue this discussion with Sheriff on the podcast. That's Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. Get our podcast just about anywhere you download podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app because you can get so many things there, including the podcast. You can stream the station 24/7, rewind live radio with the Radio Rewind feature, so make sure you check us out there. For our producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.